chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 5 and 6 as we celebrate the 4th of July in our country and the freedom that we have and how the forefathers came in search of a place to be able to worship God without persecution. And in our country we have a motto that's even on our currency and on some of our monuments and stuff that say, "In God we trust." But this morning I want to talk to you about the motto that you and I should have in our life, which is, "In God I trust," based on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Last night, there were many parties going on, gatherings and stuff, celebrating the 4th of July. We had people in our neighborhood shooting fireworks and stuff. And all that's good, but many celebrate the holiday without even really thinking about the meaning of it, without really meditating on the reason why they have the freedom they have and why it is a federal holiday. And this morning I want us to be reminded of the fact that you and I need to continue to trust in God, regardless of what direction our country goes, regardless of what direction the world goes, regardless of what direction people go in our lives, you and I as God's people need to always go in the direction of God. I shared with you a few weeks ago, and I didn't think to bring it up, but I shared with you a few weeks ago that, again, on our currency, you look at the quarter, and the president has always been facing the words that say, "In God we trust." You can find some old currency coins and you see, "In God we trust," the president's face facing those words as a signification that, you know, our country, you know, was founded upon the word of God, the principles of God's word, and there were men, not all the men that signed the Declaration of Independence were born again believers, all right? Some had religious backgrounds and stuff, but now in 2022, where they have the coins, where it still says, "In God we trust," but the president's face is facing away from those words, signifying truly direction that the country as a whole is heading and has been heading for a long time. But again, no matter what the country our people do in regards to God, that should never dictate what we do as God's people. We should always be facing that motto, "In God we trust," and making it more personal, "In God I trust." And that comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's read these and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Father, we do thank you and ask that you would guide us this hour. I pray that you would, Lord, establish our thoughts. Lord, we do commit this hour to you, and you promise if we would commit our ways unto you, our thoughts would be established. And Father, I need my thoughts to be established, so I, Lord, stay the course that you have for this hour and not get off on rabbit trails and get my thoughts all tangled up. Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit would guide and direct, and I pray, Father, that your people would not be distracted by the affairs of the day that they have to do anything. Lord, we all would be attentive like Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening as you speak to our heart. Father, we ask that you would bless the children and junior church as well, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. John Adams, the second president of our country, said this: "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God." And how true those words were But more truer are these words in God's word in Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And in Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Our country has always been blessed from the foundation of its beginning because of the principles it was founded upon, God's word, people wanting to come and worship God and serve God. And we've been a country that's always been a friend to Israel. But more importantly, our individual relationship with God, the fact that your life and my life has been blessed because we recognize who God is, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend. He was the friend of Abraham. Abraham was considered the friend of God. And you and I are considered the friends of God as we walk with Him and talk with Him every day. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Continue following the Lord. Even as I said in Sunday school, no matter what happens in your marriage, in your family, in your job, in your relationships, in this life, nothing should ever detour us from following the Lord and always putting Him first. Because you know what? Without a proper relationship with God, everything after that just, it doesn't fall into place. It does not work. And we will find ourselves, if we put our trust in anything other than God, we'll find ourselves disappointed, find ourselves being led astray, we'll find ourselves just disappointed with life. And I want us to see in these verses this morning again, just having this motto in your life. There are some Christians that have life verses. And you may have a verse of scripture that you consider your life verse. It's a verse that helped you in some hard times that you always go to. It's your go-to verse to help you be encouraged in the Lord and to remind you of your relationship in the Lord. And I want us to be reminded this morning that our trust has always got to remain in God, the God of the heavens and the earth, the God of creation, the one who has given us our life. Again, many are looking for the president or the government or somebody that they can put their trust in to bring peace into the world, to bring peace into their life, and to give them what they want. But I want us to see in verse number 5, the direction of our trust should always be towards God. Look at those first verses, our first couple words in verse number 5. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's the direction our trust should always be directed as, to God, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to our Redeemer, to our Savior. Now, I know that, again, God uses governments. He uses things for the benefit of His people. You read that through Scripture. Daniel found benefit in serving in Babylon because God raised him up to a prominent position. Joseph found a prominent position in Egypt when he was sold into slavery, all because of God. And they both were trusting in God. Though they did not understand everything, yet they were trusting in God, and that gave them the encouragement they needed to be where they were at, in a heathen nation, among heathen people. We're no longer in a Christian nation. We're no longer in a nation that fears God, but there's a remnant of God's people that still fear God and still serve God and still trust God. I want you to look at Psalm 139 as we think about trusting God and what it means to trust God. You and I know that He knows all. He knows all. He's omniscient. He knows everything, and that's why you and I can fully trust Him in all areas of our life and with everything, because He knows everything. In Psalm 139, verse 1 through 8, and I might talk a little fast this morning for time's sake, but let God speak to your heart this morning. Let's let the Lord speak to our heart and teach us what we need to be taught, remind us of what we need to be reminded of, and let's respond to God's drawing in our life. In Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit? Or whither shall I flee from my presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. The psalmist says that God knew everything about him. That's a wonderful thing that God knows everything about me. But at the same time, that's a dreadful thing that God knows everything about me, because he knows my heart. He knows my thoughts. He knows what I will even do before I do it. But at the same time, I'm comforted that, you know what? He knows the way that I take. He sees my goings. He sees danger I do not see, just as I talked about in Sunday school with the missionary and calling his child to stop where they were at, because he saw the danger that the child did not see, and the child was saved from danger because the child was keen to the father's voice and obeyed the father's voice every step of the way, not questioning, not rebelling against it, but knowing if the father is speaking, the father knows best. And our Heavenly Father knows everything about you and me, and we can fully trust him. But God also not sees all of it. In Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows everything about us, and he sees everything. That's why we can trust him. In Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You and I can trust God because he does it all. He does everything for us. One of my favorite segments in Scripture is found in Job. I believe it's Job 29. I keep the wrong chapter. But when Job realized how good God was, Job went through that trial in his life where he lost everything, even his health. And yet he finds himself even cursing the day he was born, because he didn't understand what was going on. He was a man who had a testimony. He feared God. He walked upright before God. God even testified to the devil of Job's testimony. But Job found himself having a pity party, found himself sitting in the dust and ashes and complaining about the day he was born. But when God was finished teaching Job a lesson and working in Job's life, you know the outcome. God blessed him with more children, blessed him with more material possessions. But Job said this, in so many words, he said, God knows the way that I take, and when I come forth, I'll come forth as gold. Job couldn't see what God was doing. He even said, I look forward, I look left, right. I look around, I can't see what God's doing, but I'm trusting that God is watching over me and God is guiding me. You know why we can trust the Lord? Because he knows everything. He sees everything. He does everything for us, because he loves us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now we understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And often I've said, put your name there, for God so loved, put your name there. Why does God do what he does in your life, in my life? Because he loves us. And again, I'm glad he knows everything about us. I'm glad that his grace is sufficient. I'm glad that we can trust him, and we need to continue focusing our trust on the Lord. Again, the direction of our trust. Look unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Again, man will fail us Man can only do what man can do, but God can do much greater. That's why our motto in our life should be, "In God I trust." David learned that lesson. Joseph learned that lesson. Ruth learned that lesson. Rahab learned that lesson. Even Esther. So many in Scripture we read about, but I know even you have learned that lesson in your life, that, you know what, in God I can trust because God never fails. You know what, I don't know everything. I try my best as a pastor, as a Christian, to counsel people when they ask for my counsel, to counsel them, to give them the Word of God. And as they tell me their situations and the best I can think about their situation and verses to help them and to guide them, ultimately it's God. God's the one that can help. God's the one that can guide, because God loves each and every one of you more than anybody. He knows everything about you. It amazes me at times that I think about David's words. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, didn't you know what you were getting when you saved me? And he always says, I knew exactly what I was getting. A life that I can change. A man that I can help. A woman's life I can change. A woman that I can help. God knew exactly what he was getting when he came to you and me and every person that's put their faith and trust in them. He wasn't looking for perfection, because he wants to perfect himself in our life. That's why Paul was able to say, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ living his life through us. I had it put in your bulletin this morning, and if you noticed it, in the bottom right-hand corner of the second page, when you open up your bulletin, the life-changing equation. This is nothing I came up with. It's something I came across recently. But this life-changing equation, it's wonderful. His knowledge, God's knowledge plus God's power equals God's love. His knowledge plus his power equals his love. His knowledge, God knows what's best for me. His power, he can do what's best for me. And because he knows what's best for me, and because he can do what's best for me, his love tells us he will do what's best for me. That's why you and I can fully trust in the Lord, because he does what's best for you and me, because he knows what's best for you and me. It may not always be what we choose, but again, we trust God because he knows what's best for us, and we know that he loves us. Looking on again in verse number 5, we see the depth of our trust. The direction of our trust should always be to the Lord, but the depth of our trust should always be with all thine heart. With all thine heart. That means, you know what, you let it go. When you find yourself at the end of your rope, many people say, hey, tie a knot in that rope and hold on for dear life. No, don't tie a knot in the rope and hold on for dear life. Let go of the rope and let God bear you up. Let God hold you. Because when we're holding on to the rope, it's our own strength. We're trying to hold on. When we should be trusting in the Lord, we should be allowing the Lord to direct our steps and allowing God to fulfill his will in our life with all thine heart. And I dare say this morning that there's probably not a single person in here, and if there is, God be the glory, that we don't struggle with letting God have all of our heart. Because there's just times where we think we know what's best. We think, okay, well, we take past experiences that God has brought us through, and we think, okay, well, if I do this, then I should be okay. Again, that's not fully trusting in God. That's trusting in our ability. But we are to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many times have we gone to the Lord by faith, in prayer, asking for something, but then when we're done praying, we start worrying about it. We start trying to figure it out. We've already taken it to the Lord, but then we take it back out of God's hands, and we start trying to figure out, and then, Lord, hurry up and do something, and then we're still worried about it. Again, we have not with all of our heart trusted him, because when Hannah prayed, and I love the Bible, because to me, when you look at all the accounts in Scripture, all the accounts that happen in Scripture, I see the extreme. I see God doing the extreme in extreme situations to let us know that, you know what? If God can do the impossible in those extreme situations, Hannah not having children, wanting to have children, it was not her fault. Her husband married two wives, but here she was being tormented, not having children. Peninnah would mock her. The adversary would tease her, and yet she came to the Lord, came to the temple, poured her heart out to the Lord, and as she's pouring her out to the Lord, there's somebody else accusing her falsely. Eli says, put away thy wine, because he assumed she was drunk because he didn't hear any words coming out of her mouth, but saw her lips moving. And she said, you know, she basically said, you know, don't consider me a daughter of Belial. I've poured out my heart to the Lord. She gave her burden to the Lord. And how we know she did is the Bible records that she went away sad no more. She just left it in the Lord's hands, whether it was God's will for her to have children. She told the Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. She just wanted to be a mother. She wanted to have the privilege and the blessing of having a son, just having a child. And the Lord blessed her. And I believe the Lord blessed her because she left it in his hands. She fully trusted God with all her heart. And we need to fully trust the Lord with all of our treasures, all of our possessions that God's given us. Proverbs 3, look, if you were to look at verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Trusting God with what he's already given us. Nothing in our possession did we get by our own power. You may have worked for it. You may have sweated. You may have earned a paycheck. It may have been given to you by inheritance. But ultimately, it all comes from God. God has allowed us to have what we have, and we have to fully trust him with what he's given us. Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What are we trusting in more, our wealth or in God? The rich man found himself lifting his eyes up in hell, having had everything he wanted, while Lazarus was laid daily at his gate, begging for crumbs. He never would help him. But then Lazarus dies. The Bible records, Jesus says, he's carried away in the arms of an angel. He's comforted. But now that rich man who trusted in his wealth is now no longer a rich man according to society. We must not trust in what we have, but trust in God's provisions. And we can also trust the Lord with our trials. Job said, through his trial, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And you and I can also trust the Lord with our tomorrows. The things that, you know, I don't know the future. But you know one thing I do know about my tomorrow, and you probably know about your tomorrow? You have an eternal home waiting for you. There's been a place prepared for you. You have put your faith and trust in the one that holds your hand, the one who holds tomorrow. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As far as I know, everyone in here has done that. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You've put your faith and trust in his finished work. So why do we worry about anything else? If he can pay the penalty for my sin, what is it he will not help me with? What is it he will not provide? Why can I not fully trust him and him alone? The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. We struggle with that. We're tempted with not trusting the Lord. But we can trust the one who holds tomorrow. In verse 10 of Romans 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We can trust him with our entire life. We can trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The question is, are we fully trusting with all of our heart? That means no reserves. We're not reserved in any area. The Lord knows all my heart. I fully trust him with every detail of my life. Every situation that is a part of my life, I fully trust the Lord, and that he is watching over me. He sees me. He knows me. What am I worried about? I'll be honest, I worry about things. There are things that bother me. There are things I have to tell the Lord. Lord, I'm being honest. I'm worried about this. I know that you're able to, but I'm still looking at it. I don't know how, but I know you do. We can fool each other. You're greeted. Good morning. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. How's your week? Oh, it's been perfect. It's been great. And on the inside, you're thinking, it's been terrible. And I've had some bad things happen. But sometimes we don't want people to know the bad things of our life. We want people to think that, you know what, our life is perfect. Everything, I mean, God just blesses me beyond measure. Right? It's just beautiful. But God knows the reality. And when we're like the father that came to Jesus because his son was possessed with demons. And the father came and said, you know, oftentimes my son, he's cast into the fire. He's cast into the water. You know, his destruction. And Jesus asked him, do you believe? Do you believe I can do this? And oftentimes God asks us the question, do you believe? And the father of that son said, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Because sometimes we find ourselves, I know God can, I just don't know if he will for me. I know he's done it for, and sometimes we'll think of somebody, we'll name, well, of course, I mean, they're a super Christian. Of course, God's going to help them, but me? I struggle with reading my Bible. I struggle with praying. I struggle with, you know, doing my way versus God's way. So God probably won't help me. That's a lie from the devil. If we confess our faults to the Lord, right, he will help us. But it's still fully trusting in God with all of our heart. Yes, if we've sinned against God, we need to make it right with God. We need to confess it according to 1 John 1:9. So we're cleansed from that. So our focus is back right on the Lord. And that's the reason why we do. There's not a single person who's perfect. I'm looking forward to that day where I don't have the struggle like Paul talked about, the tug of war, the things I would do, I don't. The things I do want to do, or the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't. I mean, there's this tug of war of doing what's right versus what I think is right. There's coming a day when all of that will be settled in heaven when we see our Savior face to face. But we've got to be careful about the deception of trust. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, yes, God's given us a brain. Yes, we can think. But sometimes our thinking gets us in trouble instead of trusting. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what Jeremiah said. Who can know it? It's because of sinful nature. Our minds can be deceived and darkened by our sinful nature. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Again, many trust in the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of this world goes against the wisdom of God. Again, no child of God should be getting their wisdom from fortune tellers, the horoscope. No child of God should be looking in the newspaper at the horoscope trying to figure out, oh, what does my horoscope say? It's a lie. It's a deception. It's of the devil. But I know of some Christians that do. the wisdom of this world. It's foolishness with God. Because the wisdom of this world says there is no God. The fool had said in his heart, there is no God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Again, he's speaking of the wise of this world that are vain. But you know what? In Joshua chapter 7, again, the deception of our trust can be at times selfish. In Joshua chapter 7, they go up against Jericho. Verse chapter 6 and so on. They go up against Jericho, the first battle into the promised land. And the first battle belonged to God. And God said, destroy everything. Do not take anything out of the city. No gold, no nothing. It all belongs to me. But one man decided to go against what God said. Achan decided to steal away some Babylonian garments, a wedge of gold, and hide it under his tent, thinking that God would not see, nobody would find out. Again, God always sees what we're hiding. God always knows. And that first battle was a battle of trust. Now, they'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years before they went into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And there was the temptation. Some good Babylonian garments, some nice looking clothes, and you know what? Some money. Because you know what? I've been in the promised land. I don't know what the sites are. I don't know where I'm going to need some money to buy some things. And that deception to go against God, not to trust God. You understand, when God wants something, he wants it. God always gets what he wants. In Joshua 7, verse 21, again it says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. His sin found him out. He was caught red-handed. Joshua didn't know this. The people of Israel, they didn't know it, but God knew it. And God did not go with them to the next battle of Ai, and they lost thousands of men. And Joshua falls upon his face before God. And God speaks to Joshua and says, there's sin in the camp. If we do not trust God fully, we cannot expect things to fully work out. But if we fully trust God, we can fully expect things to work out. God always works things out according to his will. He always blesses us. He always blesses his children. But you know what? Sometimes the deception of our trust is because we're short-sighted. I can't see the future. You know what? When you're sitting at your table and you have all your bills laid out and you've got to pay bills, and you know that God wants us to tithe and give our offerings to him, to worship him with what he's given us, and we look at what we're faced with, the bills, and some bills were unexpected, doctor visits or vehicle repairs, there's that temptation, that voice comes. Well, God doesn't need your money. God doesn't use American currency in heaven. He's paved the streets with gold. The foundations of heaven are precious stones. I mean, the gates of pearl. I mean, all these things. There's that temptation not to honor God and to trust God with our finances, with what he's given us. Because all we see is what we're facing. All we see is, well, God knows. God will be okay. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many people don't even prepare for eternity because all they see is what's before them. And they have bought into the lie that there's no life after death. And Christians have bought into the lie, God doesn't need your money. No, he doesn't, but it shows God where our heart is. Listen, I've struggled with that too because I have bills and stuff. And I'm like, Lord, Can I just give you an IOU? Can I double up next time? And you never can. You never can catch up when you do it that way. I mean, I've told you before what happened years ago in my early years of going to church and stuff and knowing to tithe and being faced with some bills and even having the check to put in the offering plate and the offering plate coming by and me just holding on to the check because, Lord, I got this bill coming up and I don't see how. You know, the Lord still gets what's his. Because the same day when I left church, I ended up getting a speeding ticket for the exact dollar amount of my tithe. Well, that's coincidence, right? How did that Dane County sheriff know how much my tithe was? Did he call my pastor? Did he check the records at church to know that I usually give this amount? No, but God did. I mean, I learned a valuable lesson. Doesn't mean I haven't been tempted since then. And I'll be honest, it doesn't even mean that I haven't skipped out before since then. And God always teaches me the lesson. What are you trusting in? Your ability or mine? Because you know what? Think about the times we're living in right now with inflation, the price of things going up. Some people it doesn't affect. Some people have enough finances, it doesn't affect them. Others, you know what, it does affect them. And the Christian is tempted to skip out on God. God, you understand, I got to provide for my house. I got to buy food. I got to do this. I got to do that. But who's in control? Who is it that can turn the situation around? Who is it that can cause the prices to come down? The Bible's still true. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth whithersoever he will as the rivers of water. God's still in control, not man. But God wants us to freely trust him and not be deceived by our own illusions of trusting ourselves. He goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Starting with the fact we need to always acknowledge God's existence. I know the world says, our society and culture says there is no God. But there is a God. You and I know it. We look at creation. We look at the fact that he's in control of the weather. He's in control of life. He keeps everything going. All things consist because of him. In Genesis 1:1, the greatest verse in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ dying for our sins is the fact, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God. Like I said, we went camping and the weather was nice. I know on Thursday they were saying it was going to be 90 degrees. It was so nice camping. Sure didn't feel like 90 with a nice breeze blowing and some shade. Friday was nice. Saturday morning was nice. I mean, it was just beautiful, nice weather. All because there is a creator. There's a designer and there is one that keeps everything going. Not only do we need to continue to acknowledge his existence, but also his presence. You know, there are some people that they believe that there's a God. I can see his handiwork. I believe in the big man upstairs. All the different things people will say, well, I know. But they don't acknowledge his presence in their life. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. As God spoke to Joshua, Joshua knew God existed. He saw the fire on Mount Sinai. He saw Moses come down, his face just shining as Moses had spent 40 days in the presence of God. He knew God existed, even in his own life, but he had to acknowledge the presence of God now as he was going to be the next leader, and as God spoke to him. It's not enough just to know God exists. The devils believe and tremble. They know God exists, but they don't recognize his presence in their life. Many people don't recognize the presence of God. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I love the fact our God is a personal God, personally involved in our life. His presence is there, and the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. But how often do we just act like he exists? Yep, God's there. No, God's out there. Yeah, he's keeping everything going, but he's not involved in my life. But he is involved in our life. He wants to be involved in our life. Not only do we need to continue recognizing his existence in creation and in this world, but also his presence in our life. But I would say more importantly, his lordship over your life and my life, acknowledging the fact our life belongs to him. Our life is not our own. In Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Luke 9, verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. God's given us a life to live, and to live it fully for him, fully trusting him, fully following him, fully allowing him to bless our life according to his will. Never allow yourself to get to a place where you think your life is your own. I believe many senior saints in here, many adults in here, could say, you know what, I've been down that road, don't want to be down that road again. Because when you're young, you think you have life by the tail. You think, you know what, I'm not going to make the same mistakes as everybody else. I had that same mentality. And I made the same mistakes everybody else made. Maybe a different situation, but it was the same mistake in not trusting God and not following God and not letting God have his way. See, the motto truly should be, in God I trust. In God I trust. And again, I know that the older ones in here, you understand that. You've learned some lessons. I've learned some lessons. You know what? In God I trust. If I will trust in God in everything, it'll be all right. It'll work out, regardless of what direction society is going. We're always going to butt heads with somebody that's going in the wrong direction. Never allow yourself to be convinced that you're the one going in the wrong direction. It's the world going in the wrong direction. It's society going in the wrong direction. And unfortunately, there are some loved ones in our families that are going in the wrong direction. But we cannot allow ourselves to be like a bumper car getting hit to go the other direction. Acknowledge the lordship of God in your life. I'm glad that I was not Job. I'm glad I did not have to face what Job had to face in his life. And some people may think, and I've heard some people, and I've had to show them in Scripture, it was not because of sin he committed that caused him to go through that trial in his life that's in Scripture. God even points it out. He's a man that eschews evil. He's a man that fears me, a man that walks uprightly before me. And then others are like, well, if living for God gets you that type of trouble, I don't want it. The wrong focus. Yes, sometimes hardships come because of sin in our life. It happened in David's life because of his sin. Well, the sword never departed out of his life. He had problems in the family for the rest of his life. What I'm saying is, it's best to fully trust God with everything in our life than to pick and choose what we will trust God with, because then we're like the wave of sea tossed to and fro. We're like the wind going in different directions. Oh, the wind's, I'll go this way today. Nope, I'll go this way. It's best to fully trust in God and to let God be glorified in your life and my life. The last segment of these verses, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Doesn't mean, he doesn't say he might. He shall. Because you know what? When we fully trust God, and we fully lean upon him, then guess what? We're giving God full license. Here's my life. Whatever your will is, that's what I want. I want to be in the center of your will. You know what? The center of God's will for Paul and Silas was in a Philippian jail at midnight, and that was the safest place for them to be. Think about Jonah, who tried running from the presence of the Lord. He found himself in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights. Now, he got himself there because he tried running from God. Paul and Silas got themselves in jail because they were walking with God, following God's will. Jonah decided to run from God's will. It still got him in trouble, and guess what? It wasn't until 3 days and three nights later, the Bible records, that he decided to pray. Well, I better pray because God's not letting me go. Where Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang immediately at midnight. They didn't wait 3 days and three nights. See, there's the difference. Yes, even if you fully trust God, you and I will find ourselves in some type of hardship at some point. But when we're fully trusting, we find ourselves fully singing and fully praising and praying to the one we fully trust in. The last thing I want you to think about is, he shall direct thy paths, is the delight. The delight of your trust in God. Trusting fully in God does bring delight into our life, even at midnight in a dark prison cell like Paul and Silas. Take your Bibles one last place, Psalm 25. We'll end with this, Psalm 25, verses 8. And 10, or 8, 9, and 10. Psalm 25. The Bible says in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. How many of you believe that this morning? Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God's always like Jesus, like we talked about in Sunday school. He's always teaching us. He always wants to teach us a lesson. Teach us how to trust him more. Teach us how to follow him more. Teach us how to be more keen to his voice. Teaching us always to draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and draw nigh unto God. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What a wonderful statement that is. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. May the motto be in our life, in God I trust. Not just on good days, but on bad days as well. Not just in good times, but in all times. In God I trust. I know that the majority of us in here have already had life experiences that have taught us that we can trust God, even when we don't see the outcome. Maybe some of the younger ones have not had experiences yet in their faith to help them to see. Because, you know, as you're raising kids, as a parent, you try to teach them to trust God. try to teach them to trust the one they can't see, the one they can't audibly hear their voice. You try to teach them to follow by faith the one who's guiding you, the one who has died for you. It's amazing, as we get older, the temptations of not trusting. Even though you and I can look back on past experiences and see where God was faithful and brought us through. And even remember, I couldn't see that at the beginning, but man, I see it how God just kind of brought me through that and gave me the grace to come through that. You would think by the experiences we've had and how we have seen God be so faithful that there wouldn't be another temptation to not trust Him. But again, there's an adversary that wants to steal that trust and steal the joy that comes from trusting the very one who's faithful. May we continue to faithfully trust God every second of our life. And when we don't understand, Lord, here am I. Here's the situation. I fully trust you. I just want to walk with you. I want to feel your presence in my life. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to quench the spirit in my life. I want to fully walk as Enoch walked. Because one day I know I'll see you face to face. And on that day, I want to hear those sweet words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Not because we were perfect, because we faithfully kept getting back up, dusting ourselves off, and following the Savior when we have fallen down, when we have gone astray in some point. But we've always gotten back because the Lord continues to work in our life.